This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
No other name like Jesus. Jesus, we've been saying it. We've been giving you all the glory. We've been singing, holy, holy, holy. Father, we cannot get enough of it. It's on our heart. We want to share it. We want to sing it out. We want to scream it out. We want to live it out. We don't want to limit it to only this church, Father. But we want to live it out. That we've got that relationship with you, Father, through Jesus. It's all through Jesus. If Jesus wasn't there, we couldn't have come to you. We couldn't have entered the throne room. We couldn't have spoken to you. We couldn't have called you Father. But it's through your love that you've sent Jesus. You've shown your love with Jesus at the cross. And Father, you were standing there with your arms wide open. We can come anytime to you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your open arms. Thank you for your love. Your never-ending love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. When we were worshiping, I asked the Lord and I said, Lord, is there any people to whom you're speaking? Well, you've got a message for them. And he said, yes, there are three of them. So if the Lord has spoken to you during the worship, he gave you a picture, he gave you a certain word, he gave you something, then it's now your time that you can come and that you can share it. Because God spoke to you and gave you something which you've got to share for the congregation over here. I'm waiting. You must just ask the guy at the sound if you can use this microphone.
Yeah, so while we worshipped, I saw a ministering angel with a coal of fire, I don't know, something like a spark, and he was touching some of us on the face. Amen. That's what I saw.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks a lot, Urbanus. Yes, you can come.
As I worshipped, God showed me how he walked with us, but one, like a father and having his son with him, and they walked, and he said, and it was green, and it was next to a stream, and he reminded me of Psalm 23, I will lead you to still waters and to green pastures. And then there was butterflies, and as we walked on, there was a rainbow, and it was really nice. And then suddenly this little one was so distracted by the world, and Jesus walked on. And then suddenly this person, or say it's me or you, realized, oh, but perhaps my dad has walked on, and looked where he was, and screaming, Papa, where are you? And then he saw him and he came there. But it was as if that the things of the world that distracted him turned into dark colors. It was less light where he was playing. And as he came back, or person came back to Jesus, it starts to be light again. And then huge thunder clouds came, and it really rained very hard. But not where Jesus and this little one was walking. It was just safe. And yeah, that was it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Even if you're a visitor for the first time and you got a certain picture, please, God didn't give it to you just for taking it home again. Please come and share. We've got a lot of things in the world, what we give a title. We've got a book, we've got a film, we've got a sermon, we've got a person. Then we give that a certain title, and then when we give it a certain title, we create actually an expectation with the person of what are you going to read in that book? Where is the movie going to go about? Where is the sermon going about? Or what type of person you've got? Because we all know if you've got an engineer and it's written in front of his name, or you've got a medical doctor, they're not totally exactly the same. If you've got a civil engineer, you can talk about roads and bridges and so on. But if you've got electronic engineers, it's about 220 volt and I don't know what other type of things. It's different. So the title is giving you something of what is coming afterwards. The problem is also that if we are going to put a title on it, when we are watching it, when we are reading it, or when we are listening to it, or when we are communicating with such a person, we immediately put that in a type of a box. And we say, okay, if that book is about that, then I'm going to expect this. If the movie is about that, I'm going to expect that. If the sermon is about that, then I'm expecting such a type of a sermon. And this is keeping us busy in that way that we also sometimes prejudice, that we are with a perceived opinion that we actually come to something or to a person or to a movie or to a sermon. Because we see it, we see the title, and then immediately we think, okay, it must be more or less in that way, or it must be this, or it must be that. So today, there's no title. And I didn't know what to do with it when God said to me I had to preach and there's no title. And I thought, what must I do with it? But anyway, today is no title. And that's actually how we should approach God. Totally open. No prejudice. No perceived opinion of, okay, God is going to speak to us today about the Holy Spirit, or he's going to speak to us about Jesus or anything like that. Totally open. This is how we should approach God, and that we can receive what he wants to share with us. That we're not going to come with certain ideas and say, okay, God has got to speak in that bandwidth, then I can receive it. But we basically are totally open. We can receive what God wants to share with us because we haven't got that limitation on it. And today we're going to use a book. That book has got a title. It's the Bible. And yeah, this book, it's a holy book. It's a book which has got such a lot of stories in it. A lot of stories about God, how he loves his creation, and how he cares about his creation. And we are his creation over here today. But God also gave instruction for the people to write this book with a specific intention. And if we read in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing there to Timothy then, and he's giving such an awesome description of what the Bible actually is, the title of that book where we're going to have a look at today. All scriptures, which means whatever is written in the Bible, is given by inspiration of God. If we take a look at the word inspiration, and if we go back to the Greek, it means it has been breathed by God. It came from God's breath. The same as the creation, we can see it and we can read it in Genesis. It has been created by God. God spoke. He was breathing, and then it started. We read with Adam as well. He was breathing in his nostrils, and then Adam came alive. So that's life. It's life-giving. It's an inspiration of God. It's coming from his breath. And then it says, it's profitable for doctrine, It's for reproof, for correction, and also for instruction in righteousness. So the Bible is helping us that we are walking in the right way with God, that we are in line with what God wants us to do. That the man of God may be complete. If we follow God, we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are a man of God and we are a woman of God. That the man or the woman of God may be complete. None of us is complete, if I'm going to ask you. But God is saying over here, if we're following what the Bible is saying, we may be complete. And then it says, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that's the idea. That is what God wants to do with the Bible. He wants to equip us that we are ready for the work. So much reason so to enter for the Bible school. Because that's helping you, that you are going to be equipped to do the right work, what God wants us and what God wants you to do. Because God created the world, from his breath it came. And God loves his creation. It's not that after Adam and Eve messed up that God said, okay, I'm calling it a day. The universe is big enough. I'll create another earth somewhere. Then I'll try again and see if those people are behaving a little bit better. No. God loves his creation. He loves each and every one of us. And he wants to be with his creation. It's not that God also is sitting at a distance, because we do not know how far heaven is from earth, that God is just having at a distance and checking us on the earth and seeing what he's doing. No, through his Spirit, he's with us. And that's awesome. He wants to be close to his creation. He wants to be in our presence. He wants to walk with us. He wants to equip us. And if we hear that and we think, "You, this God must be quite busy with us," I think so. God wants to be busy with us. And this is where we are going to have a look and see, okay, but what? How is God actually showing that he wants to be with us? We can read it in where God is giving instructions to Moses, and he says, build a tabernacle. I want to be with you. I want to be in your area. I want to be close to you. And when the Israelites went through the deserts and when they came into the promised land, he told Solomon, build a temple. Not David, not his blue-eyed boy. He had too much blood on his hand. But it was Solomon. And Solomon built the temple. And then the next scripture, what we're going to read now, is coming out of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, where the temple is finished, the temple is going to be inaugurated, and they're bringing now the ark into the temple. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters, and if we take a look at the word trumpeters, it's the people who are blowing the shofar, and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpet and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of God, of the Lord, filled the house of God. Which would mean we couldn't enter the church over here because the glory of God would have been here. Wouldn't have been that awesome? We would have church outside. That would be awesome. The glory of God is over here. It's so thick. The cloud is so thick. Not mist that you cannot see, but so thick that you actually cannot come in, that you cannot enter. It would be awesome if we had something like that. I think it's, yes, it will most probably be on the news tomorrow. Shofar couldn't have church. Because they couldn't get in the church. The glory of God was over there. It would have been awesome. Let's pray for it. That's happening next week. Exactly the same was happening with Moses. When they had the tabernacle, the cloud was also over the tent of the gathering. But the presence of God was also in the tabernacle over there. So it's not something new what Solomon was experiencing over here. Same has happened in the desert as well with Moses. So there we can see that God wants to be with his people. He wants to be close to his people. Isaiah got a vision. Isaiah 6 verses 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Again, the temple was filled with the presence of God. It must have really been something awesome. And then after Solomon, the temple was broken down by King Nebuchadnezzar from the Babylonian people. They came, destroyed the temple, took all the gold and silver which was in there, destroyed the building, took from the people as well. And then they went back to Babylon. Then after a certain period, people came back. Some of them were still in the same generation that they could remember how the previous temple actually looked like. We can read about it in Ezra. Ezra 3 is talking about it, where they were so excited when the foundation was ready for the new temple to be rebuilt so that the presence of God could be with them again. And there were two reactions. The young people, which I would say is more or less in your category, they were excited. The foundation is ready. We're going to build the temple now. God's presence is going to be with us again. And there were some elderly people, maybe more in the category of me and Renee, who could remember the old temple of Solomon. And they could remember how big and how huge it was, with all the gold and all the silver. And they were crying because they saw the foundation and they remembered what the temple was beforehand in Solomon. And they knew it's not the same. It's not the same. That glory of the temple of Solomon, we're never going to get it back. And they were crying. So we get two types of reaction when they were busy with building the temple. At the same time with Ezra, we've got a prophet, a small prophet Haggai, and we've got a small prophet Zechariah. And both of them are also prophesying in that same period. We're going to have a look at this afternoon a little bit at what Haggai has been saying over there concerning then the presence of God. God's walk with the Israelites. Haggai 2 verses 1 to 9, which I would like to read, and I'm reading out of the New King James. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, just leave it over there. He's speaking to three people over here. He's speaking to the governor, the king. Why it is so important? That person was in the bloodline of David and of later on the birth of the where Jesus is coming from. He was in that bloodline. That's why it is so important. That's why the person has been mentioned over there. He's also talking about Joshua. Joshua, high priest, a Levite, who is authorized by God to do the priestly tasks. And then he's talking to the remnant of the people, the leftovers of those who came back out of Babylon. And he's talking to all three of them. And then he says, who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? So it were the elderly people who still could remember the temple of the former glory. And how do you see it? How do you see it now in comparison with it? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? So he's saying that what you see over here, it's not the same as that glory, that enormous, beautiful temple of what they had in Solomon's time. But then God is speaking through Haggai, and he's giving them strength. And he says, yet, now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, Joshua. And he's talking about him again. Zerubbabel, the king, Joshua, the priest, be strong. And then he says, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all the people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. So he's mentioning again, the king, the priest, and the remnant of the people. And he says, and work. So they've got to do something. They cannot be passive. The temple has got to be rebuilt so that the presence of God can be experienced again. So they have got to do something. But then God says, for I am with you. And that's beautiful. So which is for us also applicable. God is with us. And if God is giving us an instruction to do, and if he says that he is with us, what more do we want? Because the source of the strength is telling us that he is going to be with us. And this is what God is telling them. I am the source of the strength, and I'm going to be with you. You're not going to be alone over there, the king, the priest, or the other people. I'm going to be with you. And then he says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more it's a little while, and I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And then God reminds them again to that promise what he made, that covenant what he made with Moses when he went through the desert. And he says, but I committed myself to you. I'm not walking away from you. Carry on, build that temple. I want to be with you. I want to be in your presence. Verse 7, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. The desire of all nations is Jesus. I'm going to shake all nations, and they shall come to Jesus. And I will fill the temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. He's basically telling the people over there, don't worry about the gold. Don't worry about the silver. What's more important is my presence, that I can be there and that I can give you peace. Don't look at the worldly things, but take a look at is what is important, and that is my presence over there, because I will give you peace, says the Lord of hosts. This is one where we were talking about now then, is when the temple was rebuilt. The next scripture what I'm going to read is one which is coming out of Revelations, of something which is going to happen, if we can put it that way, where John is writing down what Jesus is revealing to him. And I would like to read Revelations 1, verses 4 to 6. And John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth, to him who loved and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us king and priest to his God and Father, to him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. And there we can see what Jesus is saying over there. That's why I took the one from Haggai and I took the one from Revelations, where it's talking about a king and talking about a priest, where it says over there, he has made and has made us kings and priests to God, to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. This is what Jesus has done. Why? Because we acknowledge that he washed all our sins in his own blood, and he made us kings and priests. And then the king, if we take a look at the Greek word is basileus. And basileus, the first part of it, basileus, is the basis, is the ground. And what it means, the king, that you're standing on solid ground, that you have got right to be over there. You are a king. And then we say, okay, but how is it going to work? Where am I going to be king? We're going to be king over our own lives. And we've got to be king over our own lives. If we're not going to be king, then somebody else is going to steal from us. That's for sure. But if we're going to be king, then we're going to rule. But then we're also going to use the authority what we've got as king in our own lives. And God wants us that we should be king. And we can only be king if Jesus is our king. If we accept him as our king, then we can be king in our own lives. Because each and every prayer we always finish in the name of Jesus Christ. That's where our authority is coming from. The policeman outside says, in name of the law, stop. Whatever he's saying to you. we can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, your time is over. Spirit or whatever, I'm sending you, or bind any powers or whatever you want to do over there. We've got that authority over there. If you take a look at the word priest, yes, here he is. And a priest means priest. There's no other explanation for it. A priest is one who is sacrificing. If we are king and we are ruling over our own lives, what do we have to sacrifice? We've got to sacrifice our own life. We've got to give everything what we've got. We've got to give it to God and say, I'm giving it over to you. I'm not in control of my own life anymore. I'm giving everything to you. I'm sacrificing my whole life. I'm sacrificing everything to you because I want to do the works what you want me to do. This verse, where it is talking about kings and where it is talking about priests, some translations, maybe you've got such a translation at the moment, it can differ a little bit. They're sometimes talking about the kingdom and priest or kingdom of priest. Different ways of having a look at it. I prefer more to say it's king and priest, the two separate, and that it is it's mentioned like that. It's repeated again in Revelations 5, where it says, and now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. When he had taken the scroll, Jesus took the scroll from God to open up the scrolls. And then when that happened, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb because they could see something is happening now. And those four living creatures and the 24 elders, each having a harp, so they made beautiful music over there because it means there were quite a few harps over there, and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Our prayers are important because each and every prayer of us is going into that bowl. The prayer of a righteousness prevails much. It goes into that bowl, each and every prayer. So it's not a matter of, okay, I don't have to pray. Each and every prayer of a righteous person, a person who's in the right connection with God, prevails much. It's going into that bowl, into that golden bowl full of incense. And then they sang a new song saying, you are worthy. It's a new song. Chris Tomling is singing, you are worthy, but it's an old song because it has been sang already over here. You are worthy. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. And out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, so there's no limitation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Again, how important it is that we are both of them, that we are king and that we are priest, that we are ruling and that we are sacrificing. I started the sermon, no title. And all of us are born without a title. But the beautiful thing is, we are reborn with a title. We are born without a title, but we are reborn with a title. Because once we are reborn, we become king and priest. We've got a title which is in front of our name, which is explaining the things what we've got to do and who we are. So if you're sitting next to one, just turn around to each other and say, you're a king, you're a priest. So yes, maybe you've got something behind your name, like a degree or whatever. When you die, that degree is burned into pieces. It doesn't mean anything anymore. But what's in front of your name, that you're a king and that what you're a priest, which you got, what Jesus gave to you, what we've read just now, that's what's giving you a title. That's giving you an identity. The last thing that I want to do today is maybe a little bit strange, but you always get used to it. As I was busy with it, I felt that the Lord said, I've got to go through Haggai 2 from 4 to 9. And I've got to turn it around in today's world. And I've got to speak it over you, speak it over us as a type of a blessing. As God was speaking through Haggai to the king, the priest, and the remnant of the people, that I'm praying, blessing you as kings and as priests. So I'm asking you to go to stand, and as we are clicking through the verses, we are seeing the amplified version, but I've put it and I've turned it around in today's world, and I want to speak it over you. So I'm just going to ask that you're going to be quiet and that you're going to listen what God is saying to us, how important it is and how involved he is with us. He doesn't want to leave us alone. He cares about his creation. He cares about each and every one of us. We can read it, what it was at that time in Haggai as well, and we can put it in today's life, and then we can see God has cared about us. He wants to be with us. Thank you, Father, for your love for us, and that you want to speak to us, and that you want to say the following words to us. Yet now in this time, be strong, alert, and courageous, my child. God is speaking to us. You are king, says the Lord. Be strong, alert, and courageous, O my child. You are priest. Be strong and courageous, all my children, says the Lord, and work continuously to rebuild the temple for my Holy Spirit, which is inside you. And do not feel alone, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant which I made with you when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were baptized. And so my Spirit stands and abides in you. Do not fear in these times. Trust me. The Lord of hosts says, just once more, quite soon, I will shake and make tremble the heavens, the earth where you stay, the sea with the waves who toss you around, and a hard, dry, spiritual land of Utrecht, which you are staying. And I am shaking all nations now, and the precious things of all nations. A relationship with the Creator shall come, and I will fill this house for the Holy Spirit with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. And all the money and the wealth which is in the world and what the people are getting after belongs to me. I created it. You, my child, what a temple for the Holy Spirit. And the glory of your temple is greater than the glory of the temple of Solomon. I want to read that again. You are the temple, my child, for the Holy Spirit. And the glory of your temple is greater than the glory of the temple of Solomon, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, in your temple of the Holy Spirit, I will give you peace and I will give you prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are reminding us again today that we've got to be continuously busy with our temple, where the Holy Spirit is staying inside us, that we are busy with it. As what the truck is standing outside where they are busy with this building who's already more than 100 years old, you're busy with it, Father, that we are going to be busy in our own lives as well, continuously rebuilding the temple, and that we can be excited about it because we know this is the temple where the Holy Spirit is staying, where you say in your word that you put the Holy Spirit, part of you, in us. And Father, we are excited about it because we know that when we are busy with that process, that it is not something what we are doing, but that you continuously help us. And that you are with us, is what you said over there. You are with us, says the Lord of hosts. And Father, as what we are standing now over here, and everyone has got his eyes closed, it could be that there's somebody over here today who says, but I've never started that relationship with God. I've never accepted him as Father. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. I've never accepted the Holy Spirit. But if you're here today, and God is not king in your life yet, which means that you can be king in your life, a spiritual king, but you want to make that decision today, then I'm inviting you to raise your hand. Thank you, Father, that we can be reminded again of how important it is that we are a king and priest, and that you want to work through us in this life where we are busy, and that we are busy with rebuilding that temple, that we are busy with rebuilding the temple so that the Holy Spirit can stay in us. Thank you, Father, that you are God, that you are with us, that you love us, that you care about us, that you want to be in our presence, that we can rebuild the temple, and that your presence can be in us with the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to repeat that question again. If there's anyone who says, but I've never taken that decision, I've never made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior, and I want to make that decision today, you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring you, then I'm asking you to raise your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can just be excited about it. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, wants to be with us. And we praise you, we glorify you, and we thank you that you want to be in our lives. That we can be the kings, that we can be the priests, what you want us to be. But we don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to do that work on our own, Father, because you say you are with us. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your involvement in your creation. We thank you for the Holy Spirit which is in us. There's so many things where we are thankful for, Father, what you've given us. We give you all the glory and we give you all the honor. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.